It's certainly a blessing to be at Yuma Pine, and thank you for the invitation. It was, and it is, a great, wonderful privilege of meeting a number of you. Welcome, Cindy. Welcome, Linda. You're reminding me that I have a fairly short memory. Linda says, I remember you in the 90s. So, at the senior center at the adult day. So thank you for that. That's been a while back, hasn't it, Linda, as we've aged. And then Cindy, back in the back, reminds me that she came with Susan, apparently, at a previous prayer meeting in a different context, totally different context, in the fellowship hall of Northside. And so Cindy just put on a new face for Yuma Pine, to my eyes and memory. So those are backgrounds. I don't know until last week, I would say anything about Diotrephes. He is a new personality to me. And it was triggered by a walk through John 17 of a speaker on the radio that was, it was mentioned that Diotrephes had a challenge that related to Christ's words in John 17. And I became curious enough, and this curiosity has led to this moment with you. The words that I speak today are from the Word of God, primarily, other than reminiscing and giving you some background information. And I'm going to be reading two scriptures. I'm going to be reading, so I invite you to open your Bibles to 3 John. And I'm just going to give you a few items that I've learned. Fortunately, I had George Knight's commentary, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but George Knight has written more words in the English language about the Seventh-day Adventist Church than anyone else in the world, with one exception. Ellen White. In other words, I mean, as far as a human author, George Knight, I happen to have his commentary on the letters of John and Jude, and so I looked at his commentary to find out about this fellow that we call Diotrephes. That's how I choose to pronounce it. You may have a different opinion, but so I learned about him this week. This is not an old sermon, folks. This is an old man getting acquainted with some items in the Bible that are just not very prominent in our lives. But Diotrephes dearly wanted prominence. And that's what brings us to the message today, the disease of wanting to lead. He loved being a leader to this communication, to this group of churches, and apparently he was in charge of one of them. And Gaius is part of that church and is a friend of who? I'd like you to guess with me how old the Apostle John is at this time. The best we know, he is a lot older than I am. And some of you with smartphones, you can look up. And in fact, in George Knight's commentary, I never did look up the specific date. But we are generally conceding that even the Apostle John wrote Gospel of John, and these three letters, most likely when he was very old. ...90 AD, or thereabouts. Now, where does that put him? He was possibly, probably a teen. So when you add six decades to him. And so this is what we have in this passage. We have a very old leader, possibly the last one to have ever seen our Lord in the flesh. Now, he is also giving some advice in this letter to a young leader who was feeling his youthful oats. And you will see that as we read this together. Now, I'm reading from the, and I don't know if I made the right choice or not. I just thought I would just let it fly through the NLT, since I'm orally sharing it with you today. So I apologize for those of you who have the Bible in front of you. It's going to be somewhat different. Although I am taking the words from NIV at some critical points. So I'm going to begin reading John's letter, and he is probably in his 80s, 90s. And I'm going to start with verse 5. Dear friend, in other words, Gaius, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers. And I, in my Bible, put the word missionaries. The traveling missionaries who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. Verse 9. I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusation he is making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, again, I translate missionaries, as George Knight mentions, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Dear friends, verse 11, don't let this bad behavior and example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. And then to encourage Demetrius, who was the letter carrier, most likely. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him, and you know we speak the truth. We have a crisis of authority, don't we? You perceive that? The old guard the one who was the last living witness of the Lord. And we know from a previous letter, and especially 2 John, there's a theological division in the church, possibly, but the most likely problem with this fellow, Diotrephes, is that he loved to be the leader too much. And George Knight, in this section, in verse 10, he titles it Perversity in Action. Perversity in Action. The assertive desire to be first, or the best, or the most. Ever had that? The first, the best, and the most. Isn't that what we're trained to be as we grow up? Whether it's class issues, tests, and the first, the best, and the most. Oh, it is the disease that we're born with. That's why the title of the sermon. The disease of Diotrephes disease. It can even be in Bible studies. It can even be in a coordination of a Bible study group. Is the leader going to call me? Or why did he not call on me to read? Some of you know that I have a Bible study every morning at 6 a.m. among amateur radio operators that choose to go through the Bible. And we have a very strong facilitator in that Bible study. He's brilliant. And he has a level of command that you know that he belongs where he is. And so I have sensed these Diotrephes feelings, whether Max is his name. By the way, he's called Max. It was an appropriate name because he's an amazing Christian, has so many powerful attributes after the Word of God and knows it forwards and backwards. And so at times, I'm wondering, you know, is he going to call on me to read the text? Or Roger's mind says, boy, that guy, that station, that ham radio operator needs a new microphone. Just doesn't sound very good. He may need a new voice, actually. And I found out the other day that he is having trouble with his voice, but a microphone would make him sound so much better. Again, issues of first, best, and most. I look at my trees in my yard. Terry knows those trees. And something in Roger says, wow, every ham's dream is to have an antenna that is high as possible. High as possible. The bigger and the highest antenna has the better signal. And then something says to me, do I have a Diotrephes experience after reading this? Bigger signal. And that's alleviated a lot by the idea that now you take your signal and it ends up on a mountain in Utah, and then that relay station puts everything we do on the internet. So even these little signals end up managing to get through because of that relay station. It's all on the internet, called an SDR. I haven't participated in it. My signal is powerful enough, and I just don't do computers, as you well know. But this is the disease that all of us have, to be first, to be best, and most. It is the disease that we are born with. It's so prevalent in our lives that George Knight, in his commentary, has a gray area in the chapter in discussing the perversity in action that Diotrephes, he does terrible things, doesn't he? I mean, sure, every church goes through a conflict of how to do mission. Isn't that right? How to do it. But this fellow is so opposed to the Apostle John's mission-minded support, meaning take in, exercise hospitality to the missionaries. Give them free lodging, feed them, let them do mission, and that's how the gospel spread. It wasn't through Diotrephes, was it? He was a perverse, as one author said in George Knight's commentary, he was like a tare in the Lord's wheat, a tare in the Lord's wheat. And so, obviously, John writes because of this problem. But as George Knight also indicated, when the Apostle John writes these words, this letter, he is thinking of something else. 6 decades later, or earlier, as he writes. What do you think he was thinking? I was there. So I'm going to complete this presentation by reading what the Apostle John, was thinking of in Mark chapter 20. I should say Matthew 20. Let's take it Matthew. Matthew 20. And let's start with, especially in the context of our weekend, verse 17. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. Listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Then the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked. They were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen. Thus answers the question, what was the Apostle John thinking when he was writing about Diotrephes? Do you think he may have had some residual memories of when he was young? It could be, because we all are Diotrepheses in our hearts at some point or in some degree. I also saw another gray area in the commentary by George Knight, and this is what it says. The title, "The Diotrephes Solution, Steps to Christ," page 43. "The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness." So may we also see our Lord kneeling before us in that scene of that upper room, as we also, as Jesus says, do as I've done. This is an example. And we will again move into that phase of our highlighting of Jesus' humility.